Each one in the precious name of Jesus. Unto you who believe, he is precious. Those that don't believe, he is a stumbling block and a rock of offense. There is a sense in which I think all of us could say we've heard enough this morning, that if we'd focus on what we've heard and endeavor to live out what we've heard, we'd have enough. We wouldn't need any more this morning. That isn't the practice. Our practice is to have the message in the morning. Seems like this is sort of the practice when I come here. I hope it's not a set pattern, you know, that every time I come, I'm asked to preach, but I'm willing to do that. You may open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. The question this morning, the title of the message is, how is my prayer life? How is your prayer life? And I suppose if we'd all have pen and paper and would honestly fill out a questionnaire that God would give to us with the evaluation of how he sees it, might differ quite a bit from our own evaluation. But how is our prayer life? The disciples, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. I'm not thinking that you aren't praying, but I'm wondering if we have really learned how to pray. I think too often we might be like robots, you know, this. And this is the way we pray. We've heard a pattern, but have we learned to really express ourselves in our own words and to really connect with God? Or could it be said that when we have prayed, nothing really changes? And we hear the simple statement, prayer changes things. Well, that is true in some way. It changes things. It can. But it also, more truthfully, it changes how we look at things. And there are some things in life we can't change. But Matthew chapter 6, I was blessed with the thought of when. When you do this, when you give your alms, when you fast, and when you pray. It's not just saying when you pray, but it gives us the criteria in which we ought to pray so that God can work effectively in and through our hearts and lives. And how my prayer life is determines what my whole life consists of. Your life, how you live, how you enjoy life, the power that God gives to you is determined by your prayer life. And my prayer life is an index to my faith and dependability on God. We looked at the Sunday school lesson in the dependability of Jonathan that he had in his God. On the American coins, I don't have any coins with me, but it used to be that there was always the inscription, in God we trust. Today, I think on all our plastic cards, it could be inscripted, in thee we trust, in our cards we trust. I think America, North America as a whole, has lost an awful lot since they have lost their fear and trust in God, and we see that. Isn't it true that our fears, our frustrations, and anxiety are too often a result of not praying fervently? The scripture tells us that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It accomplishes much. And we believe that when we pray, and we know how to pray, not just that we pray because he said, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to be heard for their much speaking. God is not impressed as how much we say, but what we say and whether we connect or not. I think too often we go through the rudiments of prayer and haven't really connected with God, haven't really touched the heart of God, and therefore when we don't touch the heart of God, he cannot touch our hearts. We're a closed vessel. This morning I have only two basic points in why pray and how to pray. And when we pray, life must become changing. There must be a change in our character, in our conduct, in our perspective of life. It has to be that way, our perspective of the Christian life. Not only our perspective of life, but what is life all about? And our prayer life determines all of those things. It ought to be for the life-changing, life-enhancing, that the joy of the Lord may be our portion. It must be life-keeping. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, how does he keep you? It keeps us, his power keeps us because of our direct link, our connection to him. We are not under the keeping power because we were saved. We are under the keeping power because of our connection with him today. And too many individuals seem to go on the initial experience of salvation, how God saved us in a miraculous way. And we know that that is the first step to God. They that call upon the Lord shall be saved, but they that call on the Lord shall be kept safe. And the power is there. There is no reason or excuse for man falling away into sin. And yet, our brother also mentioned that we have the potential. Within each one of us lies the potential of falling away, and that ought to create a fear and trembling in each one of our hearts that I'm a potential to become the worst of all the things in the world. And I've said to a man already, he said, you know, I used to be a drug addict, but he said, I'll never, never, never go back to drugs again. Well, what an overstatement. Within you, within me, lies the potential of the things that are so obnoxious to us that years ago weren't even known of man. Very few. But we are potentials of becoming all of that. And potentials of simply falling away. Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to refer to a number of verses in relation to the two points, why pray. I'm not going to take the time to read chapter 5, the latter part of the chapter 5 from verse 43, but to 48, and then in chapter 6. But one of the interesting verses in the connecting verses between chapter 5 and chapter 6 is the last verse, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." And we could go back. That isn't the subject this morning, at least not the major part of it, but it is part of it. The perfection, our perfection is because of what Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us, and that we are to be called Christians, little Christs that are the imitation, if you please, of who Jesus really is. And that is what the Christian is designed for. Because people don't read their Bibles, but they read you and I. And you know, what Brother Aaron mentioned, you know, when they see flaws in us, it is like if we would see flaws in the Scriptures. And it hinders the witness and testimony of Jesus Christ. Now in chapter 6, verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray." And I should insert this. Do you love to pray, or is it only an obligation that the Christian has to stay right with God and to be connected? Is it an opportunity? Is it a joy to pray? I love to steal a while away. I don't think I jotted it down, maybe in my notes, my rough copy. I think I jotted it down that Someone asked, Brother David Burkholder asked recently, what is the highest form of worship? Well, somebody said obedience. That is partly true. But I think the highest form of worship is with my private prayer life, where I connect with God. This is wonderful to pray collectively and to worship collectively, but there is no substitute for a personal connection with God. That is the highest form of worship. Men of great spiritual stature, they were men that connected with God personally on an individual basis. It is not just a matter of being together. It is my personal relationship with God that it ought to be the highest form of worship and the most desirable and the most enjoyable form or way of life when we connect with God. I think it comes later on, but one of the outstanding things of this scripture is that the Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. That's the highest form of worship, when we get to not only get to see more of God, but when we see more of God, we get to see more of ourselves. And that is worship. When worship is the effect upon our soul to change character and conduct, that is the highest form of worship that we can attain to. That is the will of God, that we become conformed to the very image of Christ. And too often, we don't experience the highlight of prayer life. But I'd like to encourage all of us and challenge us that prayer life, in order for it to be effective, it has to become enjoyable. And we must love to pray. It isn't like, yes, it, in one sense it's true, we have to pray in order to stay right. But we need to love to pray. Let's keep reading here. Let's see in verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Why pray? The disciples said, increase our faith. Number one is to build my faith and trust in God. Do you have mountains this morning that you cannot tunnel through, that are obstacles in your life that hinder your progression in the Christian life, that you are so preoccupied with these difficulties that you really can't move ahead in life? Do you have Red Sea experiences that there's just no way through? Well, stand still and see the salvation. God does miracles where we have the exercise of faith. But we have too many times where we see the armies against us and the forces of evil prevailing that we seemingly can't get through. And if our prayer life isn't that of faith, then we have so many mountains. And I've tried to think, I've often thought of what did Jesus really mean when he said, if you have a faith as seed of the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be ye removed. Well, I don't think that anyone in life has, that I know of, that has ever been able to say, remove this mountain. It takes a lot of effort to remove a mountain, to build a road through rock and hill. It takes a lot of effort. It takes explosion. It takes dynamite. But the mountains that we face in life, they are many. There's a lot of obstacles that we face. And by faith, we can have those mountains removed. By faith, we can tunnel through those mountains. God cannot operate outside of the work of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We always say God can do everything. There are some things God cannot do, and that is, if you don't have faith to believe this morning, God can't operate on your behalf and on your prayer life. It's impossible for God to operate. If you don't have the faith to believe that he can, he will not. Because it is faith that links us to the very power and promises of God. And too often, we end up in a lot of frustration and a lot of anxiety, of soul struggle, when there is a lack of faith. And change, and it doesn't change, nothing changes, except it is our own health, that the mental health that deteriorates. Preoccupied mind destroy enjoyment of life and the usefulness of God. Furthermore, in the second, I should say this yet, our faith is not a guarantee to change the undesirable situations, and there are many. And as you get older, they don't lessen any. In fact, they increase. You have the burdens, you have the concerns of your children, your grandchildren, and some for the great-grandchildren. And so there's a lot of undesirables in life. But prayer is not a guarantee that it will change all those desirables, but it gives us the grace to accept those undesirables. And to bring soul rest in the midst of unchanging situations. The Apostle Paul, he had a situation most undesirable, and he prayed 3 times for this thorn to be removed. And it didn't change anything, but it changed how he accepted the things that he could not change, and to live the rest of his life with the unchangeable. That is the power. That is why we pray, so that we can accept the many difficulties, the painful things in life. And they will be there. They always will be there. Life is changing. But I am the Lord, I change none. So his grace is sufficient for us to go through those unchangeable desires and to bring about soul rest. Faith is designed to take us through the situations. Through many situations, God has no detours in life. God takes us through many valleys, and that is where we learn the most. And God has not promised that he's going to remove all the obstacles in life, but he has promised that he will take us through those undesirable situations. Faith to believe that in every painful experience of life, there is grace enough. Grace enough to go on and not despair in life. Faith that reduces our many whys. The many whys in life. Why this? Why? What have I done to deserve this? Where have I gone wrong that this has happened? Children are lost to the world, grandchildren maybe. And there's a lot of whys. But you know, when we have faith, it removes a lot of those whys, the things that we cannot answer. Whys don't change the past, but only prohibit our enjoyment of the present. So many uncontrollables that we have no control of, and we must let go of. In the second place, why? God our Father, which art in heaven, our Daddy, which art in heaven. Children, they come to their parents, and many times parents don't realize, you know, that a child has some wants. Sometimes they don't realize their needs or their wishes, But you know, unless the child asks, the parent doesn't know. And the simple answer is why? God wants us to ask. Let your request be made known unto you. James says you have not because you didn't ask. God isn't in the business of handing out all his provisions and all the things that we need for the Christian life. He's not in that business of handing it out until we ask and we want it. We desire it. And when you pray this way, our Father in heaven, you know what I need. And without asking, James says, you have not because you didn't ask. And too often we're like the disciples. We wait. We wait till the ship is about sinking. And in desperation, we cry out and say, Lord, don't you care that we perish? The load is just too heavy. Well, that is almost at the point where it is too late. And too often we wait till that point of desperation and then we pray. And I believe that we ought to be a people who prevent the ship from being filled with all the things that can weigh us down, laying aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And there are so many things in life. Ye ask because ye have not. From whence, in the beginning of that chapter, I think it is, where he said, from whence come wars and rumors of war? Come they not from within yourselves because you really don't ask? You really don't ask, and therefore you're not experiencing the power. And that wherefore, from whence come wars? They come because of our soul struggle. We haven't gotten the things that we need and that we desire of God. And so we need to make sure that we keep our ship afloat and not awake the attention of God or of our Master, Jesus Christ, only when we come to the point of desperation. The prevention of desperation is to call on the name of the Lord before the ship gets too full. And so often we struggle, and finally, when you get to the end of yourself, then you cry out and say, Lord, help us. You know, there was another time when Jesus was out there on the sea, and there was he in the ship. It's in Mark chapter 4. Beautiful scripture. You know, there was the storm, a tremendous storm. And the disciples, maybe it was the same passage where they woke him, or at least refers to it. And then he rebuked the winds. And it says, and there was a great calm. You know, we have too many things that can create turbulence, but there is too often we allow the turbulence to be created, and finally we awake the Master because we can't handle it ourselves. And then of course, there is a great, great calm. Keep your ship afloat. One of the most frustrating times in life is when we don't get an answer to the requests that we have made. In the third place, why pray? To develop a deeper sensitivity to sin. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It is one of the keeping powers for the Christian is the sensitivity toward sin. Sin, Paul said that sin might become exceedingly sinful, learning to equate three categories into one, and that we don't categorize and say, well, this is a little sin, this is more serious than the other, but that we learn to evaluate the seriousness of any sin, that every disobedience receives a just recompense of reward. Lead us not into temptation. I often wondered what that was, and I looked up lead, and it says against. Lead us against temptation. And you know, God, we know that God tempted no man with evil, and we can't feel wrong and feel right. There's these things, learning to equate attitudes, wrong feelings toward others, negative attitudes toward life in general, wrong attitudes toward God. Secondly, ambitions. Our ambitions are the result of our thought process, our thinking. Jesus knowing their thoughts. And you know, we seemingly think that we can get by with wrong thoughts. Attitudes are awful, and sometimes they manifest themselves. Generally, they do somewhere. But the thought, ambitions, the thought life, what's your thought life like? Nobody with wrong thought life and not having victory over thought life would want to expose their thought life. And those ambitions of the thought life, they are so serious. And then we have actions. Oh, we carefully guard our actions, how we conduct ourselves in church life and in the community. Maybe sometimes not careful enough. But all three categories, our attitudes, our ambitions, and our actions come under one category, and that we don't begin to differentiate. The only difference is there's some more serious consequences about the actions. But that we have a sensitivity towards sin, that all disobedience, all violations against the work of the Holy Spirit and against the voice of the Word is sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Wherefore Cain slew Abel, wherefore slew he him? This wasn't a new idea. This was the process. This was the process of attitudes. This was the process of an ambition. This was resulted in the action of both of the forerunners is the attitude and the ambitions, and then you have the actions. And too many people, too often, we try and deal with the actions and haven't equated the fact that all of sin is sinful. In the fourth place, deliver us from evil. Work in progress. Why pray? Well, it's work in progress. We are not a finished product. That the Lord may reward thee openly. I have been challenged with that scripture so many times. Go in secret, that the Lord will reward thee openly, that we aren't a finished product. Are you a finished product? Do you feel that way? The Apostle Paul, of all people, said, I haven't attained yet. It's work in progress. I die daily. It's a giving up on myself every day. And every day, the more I pray, the more I learn about myself. And if you are here this morning and you feel quite smug because you have come to a plateau of arrival, well, we're certainly missing the point. He also wrote, I press toward the mark. I pursue. I haven't attained yet. And you know, Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Ephesians, it says, that we may grow up into him in all things. Have you grown up into all things? Well, we speak the truth in love so that we can grow up into him in all things. Well, I certainly feel the shortcomings of not having grown up into all things yet, and the need for me to grow. And there's so many areas. Paul said, I press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. Be ye holy to stay saved. The highest calling is to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus. And then he said, that I may be found, may win Christ. That's first prize. If you can win Christ, you have first prize in your life. And everyone has first prize to that. And that I may know him. And that I may be found in him. And that I may understand and experience the power of his resurrection. Praying when he reveals to me that John isn't dead enough yet, and therefore he's not experiencing the resurrection power to overcome sin tendency in his life. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Nobody understands or experiences the power of, of the resurrection till you die, until you completely die. And you know, Jesus, no doubt, struggled in giving himself. Well, deliver us from evil. What are evil? What shortcomings? I've listed a few here. Quick to anger. Impatience. Impatient with your children. Impatient with the people in the congregation. As a ministry, we get impatient sometimes because people don't respond right. Impatient with the youth that are coming to the years of accountability. And God is starting to work in their life, and we expect that their behavior ought to change. When it is the conflict between Satan and God of having possessing this soul for eternity. And it's easy to become impatient with children or other individuals. Where would you and I be if it weren't for the patience of God? The patience not only that he had, but he still has work in progress. Speak evil of no man. Degrading others, that can easily be one of the weaknesses. Is really, whenever you degrade somebody else, just remember this one thing. You are degrading yourself. You are devaluating yourself. In the eyes of God, maybe not in your eyes, but in the eyes of God. Speaking the truth in love, cynical attitudes toward others. Oh, that is an easy one to do. Speak evil of other men. Oh, yes, we have such a burden and we have such a concern and we have to tell our brother, we have to tell our sister about all the negative about this person. Speak evil of no man. And when we have a cynical attitude toward others, it rolls right over into our attitude about life. It rolls right over into our attitude toward God. And we must learn to have a positive attitude, growing up in him, into him in all things, learning to love and accept others as Christ has loved me. Unthankfulness, always wishing for more. Life just isn't at its best. Wishing for more. Pride. Are you proud this morning? Well, I think that was the beginning of the fall, where Satan fell from heaven because of his pride. And consequently, every one of us have a dose of it within us. Oh, we might say, well, you know, by my actions, people must think that I am humble. How foolish to think that we are humble when we're proud of our humility. And you know, there's so many things in life. And the question, practical areas. We can be proud of acting humility. Any alterations in my whole doing? Whether it's how you comb your hair, one time you comb it this way, one time you... Any alterations to convictions that I've had is a reduction of humility in pride. Pride takes over. Alteration for the acceptance of the world and the peer pressure. And don't tell me that you don't have peer pressure. Young people and older ones, you know, we're subject to peer pressure. We don't like to be outstanding or standing alone. And so pride takes us into the realm of losing our identity with the people of God who are to be a simple, separated people to the world. So I think it's so important that we learn to identify all of these traits. Humility is the foundation for living the Christian life. What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy and to walk humbly before thy God. Shortcomings of judging others is another one. So quickly we're there to judge others. And you know, James says, who has made thee a judge? Aren't we guilty so often of judging others? You know, John says we are to judge righteous judgment, but so often, yes, we need to know that sin is sin and label it as that. But it is not in our hands or in our hearts, in our minds, to judge the attitudes of individuals. And I know why he did this. I know why she did that. There is only one lawgiver, and there is only one judge. Who art thou that hath made thee a judge? You know, so often we are the ones that judge others. We must leave that judgment with God. Man's judgment of other is sin and inaccurate. The acts of sin we must judge, but the attitudes, in that we leave with God. And so often we judge people out of our own place and place in the Christian life. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. But not everyone has the knowledge of sin and righteousness and holiness. And so we tend to judge people from where we sit or where we stand. But you know, it's amazing that there are people in this world that have never heard of God, don't know that there is a God, haven't stopped to think that there is a God. And we think it can't be. Well, refuse to judge others by the transformation of Jesus Christ in your own life. Others aren't a finished product either. In the second place, how to pray. Take time when thou enterest into thy closet. There's no shortcuts to a good relationship with God. There just isn't. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. And spend your time in secret with Jesus alone. And you say, well, I don't have time. May I say this morning, the reason we often don't have time is because we don't take time to pray. And the greatest loss of time is when we don't take time to pray. And you say, well, the children, the school, this and appointments. Well, how inefficient we become when we don't know the power and the power of prayer and the power that is released in the time that we spend with God, with a sincere desire depending on my relationship. Take time to pray. Our Father, that sincere desire to deepen my relationship with the Lord. Psalm 116, a very precious psalm that says, oh, I love the Lord because. And I think we would write down, because he saved me. That's the first starting point. But do you love the Lord? What would you write on your sheet today? Would it be long enough? Would there be enough sheets to say, well, I love the Lord because. Because he answers my prayer, because he disperses the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, and the list goes on and on. I love the Lord, and how love I thy law. I think the greatest protection for the child of God is the deepening relationship, love relationship with Jesus Christ. There is nothing that is stronger than love. There is not a greater protection that we can think of than love. There's a lot of things. Love not the love not. John writes of love not the world, love not the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And we struggle to keep ourselves from loving those things. Well, get the struggle over and get your love relationship with the Lord what it ought to be. And these things of the world strangely grow dim, and they aren't so effective in our lives. But we know that I shouldn't go here. I know I shouldn't look at this. But if our love for God is what it ought to be, these things, they lose their magnetic pull to the old nature. And we have a carnal nature that only the love for Jesus Christ and the work of his work of the Holy Spirit, the work on the cross, is what empowers us. It's our protection against the many things. Lukewarmness, slothful Christianity is a dangerous thing because of the gradual change that takes place. And that is why we need to increase our love for Jesus Christ, because when you lose the temperature by gradualism, it gets to the point where it's distasteful to God. And he told the church of Laodicea, I will spew thee out. Secondly, with the expectation to get an answer. Really? Do you, when you go into that closet and you close the door, do you really expect that God is going to answer you? Oh, yes, we say, well, he hears us. We know he hears us, at least we think he hears us. But have you got the petition that you desired of him? If we know he hears us, then we have the petition that we requested of him, that we desired us. 1 John, I think, is chapter 15. And how wonderful it is when we have that assurance. Do you really believe this morning? Believe this morning that when you pray, that God dispenses the powers of God, of heaven, to our needs. Whatever that need be, whether it is it's something that we need to bear in life, whether it is a lost one, there is a power that is being dispensed. And we say, well, there's no change. We've been in Barnett and we don't see a lot of change. Oh, yes, we have people coming in from there, here and there, but there isn't a lot of change. Don't fool yourself. If you believe in the power of prayer, you must believe that when you pray that the heavens dispense the powers, angel power, Holy Spirit power, to move into the life of individuals and to convict them. If we don't believe that, we might as well quit praying. The evidence of things not seen. Let's not measure the faithfulness of God because of the things that we aren't seeing. Because there's a whole lot more of the unseen work of God in the hearts and lives of people than there is in the things that we see. We rejoice in the things that we see. But is it possible for us to rejoice and to believe this morning that God is at work in the hearts and lives of so many unbelievers that we have prayed for many times and sometimes even unto the deathbed and beyond that, there's no response. But let's not underestimate the powers of God at work and how he dispenses his powers. Well, we have the petition that we desired of him. Thirdly, how to pray. Living in victory. Forgive us our debts. Living in victory. Oh, you say, well, I have a few areas in my life I just can't get the victory. Let not therefore sin reign in your mortal body. Forgive us our debts. Free, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free mostly, or indeed, ye shall be free indeed. Do you have victory? Do you have a lack of faith? Do you have fear? Do you have anxiety? Do you have lust? And the list just goes on and on. Young men and older ones, do we have victory of our body, our mind? Has a transforming power changed us into the very image of Christ? Are we experiencing victory in some of these areas that we talked about? My lack of love, my lack of appreciation for a sister or a brother. Or we could say, well, I can't hardly stand that person. Is that victory? We must be on the winning side. And we cannot be free indeed until we find and experience that. Identify your weakness and your defeat. And make no provision for the flesh, living not only in being forgiven, but forgiving others. Oh, did you see the connection between living in forgiveness and living in forgiving? If you are not forgiving this morning, your prayers are falling on deaf ears. Isaiah 59 says, the Lord's hand is not shortened, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But his ear is the hearing ear of God is stopped when we refuse to forgive. I realize all of us probably have things in life that have been hard to accept, whether it's the upbringing or injustice, unfairness of life, whatever it is, imposed on us by others, but we must release ourselves by forgiving. And if you are here this morning and you're struggling to forgive someone else, you aren't living in victory. God's hand is shortened. It cannot reach down into your life when I refuse to forgive. And the last point, number four, and that is, how to pray in full surrender, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Oh, you know, one thing thou desirest, just one thing. And you know, the individual went away grieved, and God and Jesus Christ was saddened because of the individual did not fully surrender. Oh, you know, and it can be this, not forgiving, giving up. The in full surrender, the will, thy will to be done. God does not operate by trial and error. He brings things into our life, experiences for our good. He never works against us, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You as a young person here, you might say, well, I don't know if I'll ever get married. I don't know your situation on either side of the house. But are you surrendered to what God has for you in life? Or are you fighting against it? Can you accept your lot in life? Pain in death, in sicknesses, things, terminal illnesses. Are we surrendered to that? Does God not know? Does he not care? And we could go back to the question where we started. Why pray when God knows everything? Are you surrendered to the sovereignty of God, knowing that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose? That is not an easy way. That is not an easy thing to live in full surrender, but it is the only way. It is the living way. It is the best way to enjoy life and to be of usefulness to God in his service. When I am fully surrendered, let us not think for a moment just because Jesus Christ was the eternal Son of God that surrender wasn't needful for him and that it was an easy thing for him because he was God. No, the cross. Oh, the shirking away from the cross experience. Oh, Lord, I come to do thy will, O God. It is written of me. Nevertheless, if it is possible, take this cup from me. But I surrender. I surrender, not my will, but thine be done. That is when we are empowered by Jesus Christ in the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, when we finally surrender injustice, unfairness in life. And there is. I think of families that are on track with God, everything is done right, and they are just the finest family, but they have their obstacles. Why? Well, I suppose they could say why. I see the blessing of that family as a result of their surrender. This is our lot in life. This is our lot in life. You fight against that, you struggle with that all your life. You lose enjoyment, you lose the blessings that you could be enjoying. Simply surrendering to the sovereignty of God. The hardest part of the Christian life is to surrender and to surrender all. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Shall we pray?